So, Chloe, it's nice to see you again. I think the last time we talked and saw each other was at Pickleball with Eric.
Yes, it was. That was the second time I met you. Because the first time I met you was at VidCon. One time we ran into each other, but I was talking to you like your manager.
Oh,
and then
really?
You just woke up.
Wait.
And then you had to go to a panel. This was years ago, and I was talking to your manager. And then I was like, oh my God, you're Code Miko. And it was like in passing.
I think I remember. Okay, because I remember you as the always, you got like this really nice smile.
Oh, thank you.
And I remember thinking, I met you and I remember thinking, wow, she has a really nice smile.
Thank you.
And then I met you again at Pickleball. And then again, I was like, Jesus. Her smile is perfect.
Oh, girl.
Seriously. Also, like, something I noticed about you is, like, you kind of remind me of my sister a little bit.
Oh.
And, like, I aspire to be someone like you because, like, look at your room. It's so clean and minimalistic. And everything is, like, the color coordinates. They're all matching.
I'm the messy one in the relationship. Sure.
No, stop. There's no way.
Kevin has to teach me how to be a clean person. I'm disgusting. Because I lived with two brothers. I grew up with two younger brothers who were like boogers, basically. Like never clean. There's no point. Yeah.
Oh my God. I think that like seeing your space is actually really indicative of like the content that you make as well, because your content is so, like, it's so perfect. It's so fresh cut, perfect, well put together. Honestly, okay, so one of the reasons why I decided to do, like, this type of podcast is because I would scroll through, like, Instagram, TikTok, and I would see all these, like, inspiring ladies, right? And I'm like, oh, my God, I just really want to talk to them and, like, learn. Like, what are they doing? Like, how are they so... First, like, how did they become so successful? Like, what is their growth strategies? Like, how do they do their branding? Like, I always think of these things whenever I see these ladies. And I'm like, I should just do a podcast where I bring girls I find inspiring and ask them questions and have a talk. In hopes that maybe it'll help like other aspiring creators too that's watching or listening. And that's how I came up with this podcast. And like one of the people that I really wanted to talk to was you. No, seriously, because
honored.
Because like I met you like 2 years ago, right? In Pickleball. And you, I think you were still working at Discord.
Oh my God, really? 2 years ago?
It was like,
you might be right.
2023. Yeah. You were still working at Discord and you had a smaller Instagram presence.
Yes.
But like I would always see like cute shorts that you post, and I'm like, oh my God, I love her shorts. I remember DMing you about it like a couple years ago, saying like, dude, I love it. And so like, okay, I'm blabbering way too much. First, I want to know, like, can you tell my audience like what is your background? Where did you come from? And how did you enter into content creation, like as a solo brand?
I think I have quite the history. I'm born and raised in LA, 626 area, so more inland where all the Asian food is, the first boba's in the United States.
Whoa.
And then I went to college in the Claremont Colleges with Albert Chang, like Albie.
Why does he sound so familiar?
Slightly musical. He was, he does a lot of instrumental over, like, he was in Twitch, he was in offline TV.
Yeah.
A lot of,
Is it
Abe? So we went to, what?
It's not Abe, right?
No, Albert. Okay. Yeah, okay. Albert Chang. Yeah. And then, We went to college together, and I helped him with videography when he first started on YouTube. So I was
Man
to the camera, and he taught me a lot. So that was really cool. And then I was like, oh my God, I really want to do more of this. And then I applied for the Wong Fu internship, and I got rejected.
Wait, I remember Wong Fu Productions.
Yeah, and they They had internships every year, and I was like, this is going to determine the course of my future. And they were like, you're overqualified. And I'm like, oh, damn it.
Oh, no. Did you reject it because you were too good?
They were like, I don't think you should do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then because I was studying pre-med and engineering.
Oh,
and
damn. Then,
I mean, both? Girl, you too. You too. I see you out there. You know, you're in STEM. You do some cool shit. But yeah,
I'm just a lowly dev developer.
You're not lowly. Unreal Engine. You are queen. You're a queen.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yes. But yeah, go on.
And then I decided to study. I was like, all right, I'm just gonna study and be a good student. And then I went to school in New York, and then I joined tech after graduation. And then I was in the SF Bay Area working at, I think the first place was Google. And then the second place was Caffeine, which was a Twitch competitor.
Oh.
And I was in early startup days. And I actually led a lot of the creator partnerships then. So at that time, I I met the original agents and managers of like Pokimane, Valkyrie, Foozly, Angels Kimmy, Skytoast, Lily Pichu, all of them. So then we would do partnerships together with their roster. Do you know Stella Transforms? Stella? Stella Chu, the cosplayer?
Yes, I know Stella Chu,
So she has a show called Stella Transforms that I produce that I like pitched to her, where she takes streamers and transforms them into their favorite anime characters or heroes.
Yeah.
So we did that on live, and we had a joint venture studio with the Fox Law in LA. So we would produce it out of Fox Studios, and then we would bring like all these talent to the studio and then produce a show on Caffeine with Stella. Wow. And that's how I met a lot of them. So I know all their agents, and we are still friends till this day, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I just rekindled with like Kimmy, Angels Kimmy. And we got really close in the last year. And then I re-met everyone. Like I re-met Uzi and Lily. And yeah. And I met Iman. It was.
Wow. It just
full circle came back. But after that, things got really toxic at the startup. And I was like, dude, I'm not about this. I hate being stepped on. I was like the first Asian woman at the entire company for a while. Mm.
Yeah.
And then I was one girl out of like 12 guys on the BD team or something.
Oh, no.
You know, it was tragic.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of extremely toxic bullying type, like very textbook gaslighty management. Yeah. And then I was going out of my mind. I literally had to leave to go to Taiwan for a month. And I like got a tattoo, and like it was a whole crisis situation.
You got a tattoo?
Yeah, it's on my back though. It's kind of far, but
oh my god, yes,
I did. And then I left the startup and I joined Facebook to go into product operations on Facebook groups. So I was very like, internal facing, techie tech. And then after Facebook, I was like, this is so slow. I really want to do something big. And then TikTok started recruiting. So then TikTok recruited me, and I joined them on their product management team on TikTok Live and combating harassment and bullying.
Oh, that's perfect.
And comments and video.
Yeah.
I know, big. And then I joined Discord. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So basically you were like an Asian parent's dream child. Going through.
I don't know.
Dude.
I definitely was compared to a lot of other people too, but I think I just did my best. I think it sounds really cool, but you know, every company I worked at, I was like, this is not really working out for me. And it felt like, and I felt really sad that I couldn't stay. And I think a lot of people in tech are very critical to my career because of that. They're like, oh, really? You could never stay at it. Yeah. I got a lot of hate. Like, because I started posting career content when I joined TikTok, and I was like, wow, I love product management. And I think it's really hard to get into. It took me 2 years to try to break in to get my first real product management job.
Yeah.
And then I started to create content on it. And so my profile became more public in the tech space.
Yeah.
But people were hella mean. People were so mean. But I'm sure.
Oh my gosh.
Twitch streamers understand online hate is.
Honestly, like for me, I don't really read that many comments or anything. Like, I kind of shut it out. And it's, like, second nature for me to just really ignore everything, you know? Like, compartmentalize it, like not be fazed by it and just move on, you know? But before, though, when I first started, it was really like it would get to me and it would affect my performance and I would complain about it on my Twitch. And it's not a nice thing to deal with. Absolutely not. Yeah. But damn, so you had quite a bit of a successful background. Like, as someone that's, you know, I had one few corporate jobs, but my last one was, I would say, like, my dream job, like a big corporation type job. But, like, you know, before I was in small indie studios, etc. And I think, like, what you described as your career is pretty damn impressive to anybody that's listening. Yeah. So how did you go? I also noticed that you were in Forbes 30 under 30.
Oh, yes, I was. Yeah, 2 years ago.
That's awesome. How did you get into that?
Actually, the story was when I was 25 years old, I was working at a social club in San Francisco, which is like a members only club for tech and founders. And I was like the front desk person and I was helping host a Forbes 30 panel. And then super petty, but I was like, really? Okay. It was like a woman of Forbes. And I was like so inspired. And after that, we were mingling. And then I was in a group. And one of the Forbes panelists came up to the group. And then I turned around and I looked at her and I was like, hi, I'm Chloe. She looked at me, looked at my hand, looked back up, rolled her eyes and walked away. Yeah. And I was like,
what? Oh.
Not one of the women of Forbes who were like, if I can do it, you can too. So I was like, wow, this two-faced biatch, like I can't. And then what happened? Oh, I went home back to my roommates and I was like, hi, I went to such an amazing, I think like inspiring Forbes panel. I think I want to be on Forbes 30. And then my roommate, who was my ex-best friend, he was like, you know, that's really hard to do, right? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, you have to be someone special.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, even I can't get on it. And he was a Google software engineer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bro. And then the next day, we were roommates. I'm minding my own business in my room. And he knocks and he comes in. And he's like, so I've been really thinking about what you said yesterday about Forbes. And I was like, yeah. And he's like, I just think it's really hard to do.
Oh my gosh. And
yeah, like I just don't know. And I'm like, okay, that's the point. The point is it's really hard to do. Like, come on, don't knock me down.
Yeah.
So that was the beginning of when I found out about Forbes 30. And then I think after 2 years, I tried twice. I got rejected the first time. So you can self-nominate and then you can ask your managers and executives to nominate you on their form. And how it goes is there's a round of journalists or PR specialists that will review the candidates and select the few. They move on to second round and then there's a panel of judges. Yeah. And I was in the games category because of working at Discord.
Wow. And then you got it.
Yeah. I think my previous manager at Discord was really supportive. I actually wasn't going to go for it the second time because I was so discouraged the first time.
Yeah.
And then I offhandedly told my manager and he's like, yeah, you should do it. I'll nominate you. And we weren't that close at the time because I just kind of joined Discord and I felt, oh, you know, you can't ask these type of favors until you really earn your stripes.
Yeah.
But then he was just so supportive and he was like, yeah, I'll nominate you. And he was on Forbes 30 before because he founded a gaming company.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, really? And he's like, yeah, why not? Like, what are you going to lose? So I just like crammed my application and then submitted.
And then you got it.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome. I mean, honestly, it doesn't mean anything. Like, it doesn't do anything for your life.
Well, it's cool.
Yeah, I think I think it meant something for, I don't know, someone with my profile to be on that list because I think that list is like extremely controversial.
Is it?
Yeah, I think there's like a Forbes to jail pipeline where a bunch of previous Forbes founders do illegal things and then they go to jail for it.
Oh.
Yeah, like the Theranos person, that girl. Theranos?
I don't know what that one is, but...
Oh my God, I feel like people... Okay, Theranos, Elizabeth Holmes, the health tech company. They like lied about their research.
And okay, then there's no, like, I know. Literally, you can look this up.
So many people go from Forbes 30 to illegal to jail.
Oh my God. Yes. I have heard about that. I've actually watched a video about that. No, that's crazy. That's crazy. I know. So how did you start? Like, because I remember seeing like distinctly, like you were in Discord product management and then you were not anymore. And then you started like, you created your own brand and started just creating like fun videos. I saw one with your dad once. That was really cute. And you know, just like, just lifestyle type videos. And then now you have this like cool series of 30 things I learned by the time I'm 30, right?
Yeah, 30 lessons by 30.
And like, okay, look at this. Have you seen your growth chart? It's,
where do I see a growth chart?
Okay, let me show you. Let me show you if you have not.
What website do I go to?
Instatrack. Instatrack.app.
Instatrack?
So it's this one right here. So it's a Instatrack.app. Oh,
okay.
And I'm going to show you because it's insane.
Oh, wow. Do you see that
graph?
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is your growth.
Yeah, I truly was at 260 when I first started the series.
Yeah, and you look at how you blew up. So like, I want to know, what did you do? Like, how did you start your career as a self-branded individual, and how did you get it to explode like that?
So last January I got laid off from Discord as part of the mass layoffs in tech. So that kind of jump-started it. I was actually vlogging on YouTube and posting on LinkedIn for the 3 years prior. So it's all like career content, maybe day my life as a product manager. We have a product launch, late nights, blah, blah, blah. How to break in, interview tips, negotiation tips.
Wow.
And then in January, was part of the mass layoffs. It was wild. Like literally, I think 33,000 tech workers got laid off in the span of 2 months or something.
Yeah.
Which is a lot because Silicon Valley is very small.
Yeah.
Like, as much influence as it has, it's a very small place. Like we know a lot of people in the same communities.
Yeah.
And then we, got laid off. That was crazy. I filmed it and I posted my reaction online and it went omega viral. It was like, I think maybe like 20, 30 million views across platforms. And unfortunately, I posted it on the same week.
What did you film?
My layoff reaction.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's just a camera on the side where I find out about it. Yeah. And then I'm just shocked.
Yeah.
It went super viral. And then it was on the same week that the Cloudflare girl on TikTok posted her 10-minute video about her getting laid off.
Yeah.
And that hers went super viral. But her video, it would be her video and then my video, and it'd be clumped together. I actually have never seen her video.
Yeah.
Because it's like really, really long.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the news outlets picked up both of us and put us in the same headline. And so it became such a big thing.
Yeah.
Because very few people shared it publicly. And it blew up so much, but it also gained a lot of traction and it got a lot of hate. Like, I posted on Twitter /X at the time and it just got retweeted into like the Elon Musk fanboy pits of hell.
Oh no, yeah.
I know. But the thing is, I never opened it. So I don't really know what the comments are. So I'm just like, whatever. I just saw it. I saw people kind of hating on it and I was like, oh my God. And then exited it and then went on my day. But yeah, that was scary. After that, I decided, you know, I got some severance and I was like, I'm just going to go hard on content and see what that would look like. And I gave myself 3 months.
Yeah.
And then everyone was like, that's not enough time, girl. And I'm like, okay. So I was like, why don't I just take this year to take an adult gap year and just do whatever the hell I want.
Yeah.
So yeah, at the time I just started to make videos and then I joined management and then I went to Taiwan to do, to teach tech for Taiwan.
Yeah.
So I did that for a few weeks in, I think, March of last year. And then I came back in April and went to more tech conferences and did more collabs. And then this summer I launched my podcast with Eric Wei, the Joy of Missing Out podcast.
Eric.
Yeah. And that was really good. Things were going really well on the content side, but I felt like I didn't really do anything super meaningful besides a podcast yet. And like, podcast is a lot of work. Live stream is a lot of work, but pod is also just like it is surprisingly so much work. Yeah. And then we did really well. We like charted on Spotify business, like top 13. We beat out a lot of NPR podcasts. We were one of the fastest growing pods last year on Spotify, and we're a Spotify
Damn.
breakout creator, top of the list. And then we won like
Damn.
the Asian Creator Awards for the podcast category. Yeah,
Yeah.
it did surprisingly really well, and a lot of cool creators watched our episodes. Like Sam
Yeah.
Yam, co-founder of Patreon, listens
Wow.
to our podcast. Do you remember Ryan Higa from YouTube
Yes.
days?
Yes.
You remember
Yes.
Sean?
Yeah.
Okay,
Yes.
Sean Fujiyoshi. He listens to
Yes.
Jomo. He DM'd me out of the
Oh,
blue and was like, "I love Jomo." And I'm like, "Sean, it's been, I haven't seen you
Oh.
since high school." Like, whoo!
Oh my gosh. No, that's awesome.
I
So,
know.
but
So
how
that
so
was really fun.
how do you get all these like ideas though? Like, what is your creative process like? There's it seems like so you have your podcast and then you have your shorts. And going back to like your shorts, like how do you just come up with these fun ideas? And how did you come up with 30s your advice for 30s under 30s?
Yeah. Well, it's not an original thing because you've seen it
Yeah.
on YouTube, like 20
Of
lessons I learned in
course.
my 20s, 30 lessons I learned in
Yeah.
my 30. And I was originally going to do it on YouTube. And then I did a whole Jomo episode on it. We did 33 lessons we learned by 33 because Eric was 33.
Yeah.
And then I always knew I wanted to produce it. But then I saw this wave on Instagram of people doing these lessons in one video at a time. And I was like,
Yeah.
interesting to put all that effort into one lesson. It's so interesting because on a YouTube video, you only have 1 minute or less for every lesson. So you kind of say like the lesson on a whim and then you just move on to the next because you only have 20 minutes max, right, on a YouTube video.
Yeah.
So it's like, we don't have enough justice for every lesson. So how do I, these are really, really important lessons that I've been writing for months.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to do it on short form and see how it goes. Plus, I kind of felt stagnant on short form, and I feel like I never really, I feel like I didn't put my reps in yet. Like, I was so
Yeah.
new and fresh. I was like very green in the creator space. And I was like, I don't deserve any success until I create a project where I think it's different and phenomenal, and like I pour my heart into it. And so I
Yeah.
thought, I decided, I don't know about how you do brand partnerships for making money, but I decided to not take anything in Q4, which is usually the most profitable quarter of the year. And I
Yeah.
was like, forget about money. I'm just going to go all in on creating this project that I have had in my head for months and
Yeah.
do it because I felt really distracted by trying to make money. And I was like, you
Yeah.
know what? The money will come. I'm just going to bite myself and do it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so
Yeah.
that's when like your shorts are so well produced. Like, do you do all the editing yourself?
I do.
Oh,
I did
wow.
hire editors to help out, but
Yeah.
unfortunately, it hasn't been very good. So what happens is I edit most of my videos, and then for some of them, I send it to an editor, but I do the core cut first. I send it to the
Yeah.
editor. They do revisions 1 through 5, and
Yeah.
then I also hire a designer to make sure they are, you know, up to my design guidelines, and they send me like the what we call picture lock or the final draft.
Yeah.
I get it. I give them 3 more rounds of feedback, 2 or 3 more rounds of feedback. We go back and forth, a few more revisions. They send it back to me the best that they can, and then I
Yeah.
take the Premiere file. I delete 90, 10 to 90% of their edits, and I redo it all the night before post. Yeah, because a lot of people have told me there is no way I can do this all by myself.
Yeah.
And so I actually use 30 lessons as a boot camp to try to train editors. And it
Yeah.
has been a very exhausting, laborious process. But I believe that they can do it. And we
Yeah.
just have to keep going.
I mean, eventually they'll get it. You know, it's just
Yeah.
a consistent process and it pay a lot of patience.
It is. And I think that it's hard for me to teach. I don't know how you feel with editors, but I think that they always ask for, oh, what do you want me to do and what is your style? And then they work within those guidelines. But my style evolves every video. I learn something new and I try to do a new skill or a new technique every time. And so I can't really predict what I'm going to do next. I just look at it and I'm just like, I feel like there's something missing. What is it? What can we do here? And then we just try a bunch of shit. We look at a lot of comparables and we're like, okay, what if we just add like a neon thing, or like, what if we just not do that? And yeah, I think what's the point of working in this industry if we're just not gonna try out these cool things? Yeah, there's no
And
point.
so you basically took a time off, essentially, to create your vision. And did you hire right away, or did you first create like a video and then you're like, it blew up, and then you're like, I need to hire people to help me with this?
I had an editor from my podcast, so I just asked her to
I
help
see.
me.
Okay.
And then one of my friends, Adrian Purr, he goes by Oh My God Adrian on Instagram. He's an incredible award-winning film director and producer. And he's Filipino American. He's amazing, very cultural. He was like, girl, you cannot be doing this by yourself. You need to hire. And I'm like, no. And he's like, if I can hire, you can hire. Like, come on. He does a lot of cinematic type short films. And so I went through several rounds of hiring, and every time I felt like my trust was broken with people who take my footage and then take my time and take my. Oh, that sounds so victim-y. I don't like putting that kind of
No, go
tone on it,
ahead.
but it is exhausting. It is like the private management life on the content side is truly bonkers. But yeah, I've had a lot of issues with hiring over and over again because I do have a high bar, and I'm very rigorous, and I enjoy it thoroughly. And so to have that kind of fire and find that type of grit in someone else is very rare, especially like when people aren't very well versed in the space. So yeah, Adrian pushed me every day. Like he would call me and he'd be like, did he hire yet? Did he hire yet? And I'm like, no. So I edited my first like week of videos by myself, and then at the same time I put out a job rec for editors, and then I put it on IG story and he reposted it. It got like over 100 editor submissions. I went through everyone's portfolio and I gave test edits out to I think like 6 to 8 people, and only a few came back. And then I went from there, and then I did like I call it the flamethrower round of feedback by Chloe, because I'm really into like design crits and like art. You go up and then you kind of nitpick every part of it, as I think that's the best way to grow as a creator slash artist. And I'm creative. Like if you can't just create in your own silo and think it's good and move on, having other people's perspective like builds your holistic understanding of how people perceive your work. And then it puts like vocabulary to like this feeling that is kind of just poking your brain. So I think it's very helpful. So I do that a lot, but not a lot of people can withstand that type of live feedback. So
Wow. So I kind of want to like rewind a little bit to like basically the beginning of your career, to help like kind of map out how you got to where you are, because like it's not it's very hard for anyone to just start the social media space and go viral, right? And with you, I feel like it wasn't just one viral thing. Like you had several videos that would gain small amounts of traction and a bit more and a bit more. And then like it just like it seemed to like consistently grow. And like you did have like a what's the explosion from your 30s under how do I say exactly the
Oh,
title?
30 Lessons by 30.
30 Lessons by 30. Was that explosion was from 30 Lessons by 30, right?
Yeah, I had one bump from the layoff, and then I had another, like that's when I broke 100K or 200K or something. And then yeah, 30 Lessons by 30 went from 300K to today.
Yeah, that is, and it's like really rapidly growing. I remember like when I first DM'd you about like, hey, I want to put you on my podcast. I remember your follower count was like at 900K. And then now it's like 970K. That is insane.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I'm shocked. It's, yes. Yeah. I don't know. I went into 30 Lessons not thinking it would do that much. I thought, okay, if I get 10K followers, I'd be so happy.
Yeah.
But it was really a love letter of my 20s that I've always wanted to do by the time I'm 30. I like always envisioned it.
Yeah.
Because I always see it on YouTube and I'm like, okay, I'm going to write down my lessons. And every year for my birthday, I would write down like what I learned that year.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy these lists. So I've been cooking this up and I had the list ready in the summer.
Wow. Yeah. So like what advice can you give for somebody that's like starting out in content creation and wants to, you know, find success?
Yeah, I bet you get this question a lot. People ask you.
I feel like there's so many roads to go.
There's so many roads.
Yeah.
Usually when people ask me, they have somewhat of a similar background. Like they are working corporate and then they want to do content. I tell them, look, you have to love the process of making videos.
Yeah. Like
creating content is not about you in the subject. It's literally the process of making a video, from scripting to filming to editing to public, like polishing to publish and doing it over and over again. Like the majority of your life is going to be planning and editing and filming. Like that's it.
Yeah.
It's not glamorous and it's a grind. And it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
So you have to love it. But I will say it is one of the easiest things to try. If you have like that itch, I think it's just so easy to scratch that itch and to see if you even like it. Because I wouldn't say you never know. You never know if you actually like it until you do it.
True.
Yeah.
And how long does it take for you to create a short?
The script takes me anywhere from a couple hours to a couple days.
Okay.
To like think about it. Like I have a first version and I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like how the ending is. I just don't think it's there. And so I just sit on it until I finish it.
Yeah.
And then the filming. Oh, and then I create the shot list. So for every line, I'm just like, where is this going to be?
Yeah.
And what am I going to wear? And what props do I need to buy?
Okay, like, wow,
do I buy a speakerphone? Do I buy a lab coat? Do I get a water bottle or a flashlight? And then I have a shot list, and then I have a locations, and I have a props list. And then on day of filming, I pick up all my equipment, and then I go through my props list, and I'm like, I put in my bag. I get all my outfits, I put it in my bag, and I just go.
Yeah.
And then I go to the location, and I look around, and I'm like, whew, okay, we're just going to do it right here. And then I set up, and it's just me and my husband out and about. It really is. Or if it's in at home, I do it myself. But if it's outside, I bring him because I'm scared my stuff will get stolen in LA.
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah, it's scary. People be crazy.
Yeah.
And then it takes about 2-3 hours to film one video.
Yeah.
And then I come back and I start editing. And I think editing will take me anywhere from 4 hours for like an 80% there.
Yeah.
And then probably 9 to 5, 8 hours for polish.
The whole thing. So it's around, I would say, maybe half a week to a week, depending on the video.
Probably. I think I blacked out the entire time I was doing this. Yes.
What do you mean? Oh, wait. Is everything already shot?
No. I there's 30 videos. I went into it only making the first 7, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I was like, you know, fuck it. I'm just gonna go and publish because done is better than perfect. Like forget it.
Yeah.
So I decided to publish on December 1st and the goal was to finish it by December 30th. Yeah.
Wow.
But I didn't do it because I had to fly to Michigan for a family thing. And I was like, all right, well, I'm obviously not going to finish this. So I decided to pause it, which was like not a big deal for a lot of people. Everyone was very, very, very supportive. Yeah. But then it came to a point where I was like, I don't know if I have a video for tomorrow yet. I have it filmed.
Yeah.
But I need to edit it. And it's 9 p.m. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to pull it.
Yeah.
And I would edit until the butt crack of dawn and then post. Yeah.
So you don't have a strict content schedule.
I find it really hard to do. Are you good at content schedules?
I had to become pretty strict with it because of Twitch.
Okay.
Yeah, because I have to go live Wednesday to Sunday, and it's every day. So like, yeah, almost. So like, I have to. When I didn't have a strict content schedule, streaming became phenomenally difficult because I always be like, "What am I streaming today? I don't feel like streaming anything because I have no content. I have no direction."
Yeah, and I know. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, for me, streaming wise, I had to have a very strict content schedule. And then for like YouTube and Instagram, we just pull out clips from my streams and then we turn into shorts. I have like a lot of editors, like a lot of shorts editors. They all work for like a bunch of different content creators too. And then so, you know, they kind of come and go a lot. But yeah, it's basically like taking all the clips and then giving it to my editors and having my manager manage all of that. It's a lot of work. But one thing that I really like about your shorts that I'm trying to find myself is like brand identity. Like you have a very strong brand identity. Like, When I see your stuff, it's like it's self-help, it's inspirational, you know, there's a very clear vision of what you're trying to do. And then with my brand, it's kind of like all over the place. Like I feel like it's like I'm a VTuber, I'm also myself, I do comedy, but comedy can be very vague. I do have a certain style that I follow on certain videos, but you know, it goes kind of everywhere. And so like what I'm most fascinated with you is like you have such a clear vision, clear goal, and clear, like I know what I'm getting into when I look at your shorts and I know what I'm going to get out of it, you know. So I guess what is your advice for someone like me who's like kind of like you look at a profile and it's ADHD?
I think it's necessarily a bad thing to have that much variety.
Yeah,
because I think the truth is people are so multidimensional, like no one's really one topic. And I think the stickiest audiences see your 360 self.
Yeah.
But I am very intentional. Let me try to look up. So I do these things called like life PRDs where in product, it's a product. We do this thing called product requirements document. And we do product strategy docs where we write down what we're doing, why we're building it, and who the audience is, and why we think this is work. And we do a competitor analysis on the context of why now and this. Yeah. So I feel like that kind of thinking helped me a lot. So after the layoff last year and after coming back from Taiwan, I was like, dude, I don't know what I want to do. Part of me just wants to go back to tech. I love being product manager, but I think this content thing is very fascinating. I want to do both, but both is sincerely not the move. I did it for 3 years. It kills you. Like it kills you as a person. Your lifespan definitely shortens and you have no life. Your only hobby is work and content and that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, I have to pick one. So what am I going to do? I wrote down this life purity to figure out where I was, what my mission is, and who I am and who I'm not. Because I think the first thing that a lot of creators struggle with is they want to do everything.
That's me.
Right? And then, or you see a trend happening, you're like, oh, should I hop on that trend? And it becomes like really exhausting and you burn out and you're like always behind.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be so much easier if you looked at that and you're like, well, that's awesome. I really like that, but it's not what I need to do and I don't have to film it and we're good. And I can just be a consumer. I can just watch it as a viewer and be a fan and then be okay and not let that get to my head.
Yeah.
So that's why I had to do these exercises. Every year I write a strategy and operations doc. And I think, let me see what's on it. I have a 2024 strategy and ops doc that I wrote last April.
Yeah.
Ooh. And I wrote down, what problem do we care about? My North Star, who am I building for? Why do they watch? Who am I exactly? My strengths? What am I trying to achieve? And how do I know if I'm successful at it?
Yeah.
I think I caught myself, you know, we're in LA, influencer culture is rampant here.
Yeah.
And so I caught myself one day unboxing a product on camera. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? It's like, what? Is this what my life is amounting to? Not that unboxing is bad, but it felt like, yo, for real? This is what this is? No way. It can't be this.
Yeah.
I had a moment of like, whoa. So I wrote it down. I'm like, yo, I think I need it. I can't live with myself if I don't build around a bigger vision and mission.
Yeah.
And I was like, am I a career creator? Am I a lifestyle vlogger where I just talk about, I don't know, being at home, buying stuff, makeup, skincare?
Yeah.
And I realized that the problem that I care about the most is the worst feeling you have is when you have this inner desire to do something in your life, but you're not able to get there for whatever reason, whether it's like a glass ceiling or your self-confidence or lack of know-how, lack of motivation, you don't have the network, you feel you have no control over your life. And that leads to extremely dark places.
Yeah.
So that's the problem I want to help with. And I felt that way a lot in my 20s. Yeah. I see that in my brothers, and I'm like, every life is so precious, and it's even more precious when you finally have a desire, like a little dream, however small it could be. And wouldn't the world be a better place if people can just have that spark and then go after it? Because that is the best, like, form of a human, like a person, when their eyes light up, they're like, oh, I'm working on this thing, and yeah, I'm really excited. I don't know where it's going to go. I think that is what that makes people glow. And I think young people really need to go through that process to build confidence in themselves and their lives. So I think my mission came out to be to help people build the confidence and conviction they need to take back their lives through achieving their career, personal, and creative goals. So those are always my three pillars. Like, everything I just felt had to align to one of them. And then I just envisioned the person who's watching, and I'm like, am I helping her? What does this video do for her? Because I'm very conscious of noise on the content landscape. I'm just like, there's too much noise in the world. It makes you feel bad, or it makes you feel numb, or it makes you feel whatever. And then this is my contribution. This is my offering. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. So in a way, like, you're trying to help people find their purpose. And go ahead.
I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
I think it's more like, once you find that, I don't think people find their purpose, but I think they have an inkling. They have a gut feeling.
Yeah.
That they're like, today, this is wrong. I feel wrong here. But I feel something calling out to me there. But I don't think, like, I don't think any of us really know our purpose. But I think that it's the pursuit that we have to always keep trying. And I think that's what holds us back when we don't try. Yeah. Because we're too scared or whatever.
Yeah. I think that's really good, because it actually really helps with the chaos. Like you were saying, a lot of the noise. And I struggle with that myself, is just too many choices, too much noise, too much distractions. That is awesome. And that's kind of how you based your brand around your three pillars, and you were able to kind of clearly see your vision through, you know, creating this doc. And is this just like a Google Doc?
It's a Notion doc. Yeah.
Oh, it's a Notion doc. Okay, I love that. Is that your software choice for organizing everything?
Yeah, I do a lot of Notion, Figma. I have Google Drive as well. Depends on how I need to share it out.
Yeah. Would you say organization is like number one when it comes to like getting everything structured?
I don't know if I'm that organized, but I think a lot of people think I am. I just create docs, and then I'm just like, I don't know where it is. I think I remember this keyword from it. But I would say I'm a very digitally, I have a very strong digital mental model. I can create wikis really fast and then be like, okay, this is how the chart is going to work. This is the columns, and here are the components. So I feel like that's a strength of mine. Yeah.
Would you be willing to show us one of them?
Yes.
This is Chloe's 2024 strategy and operations. I like that you have the North Star.
I do, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And the problems, North Star, who are we building for? What is career? What is creative? What is personal? I love that.
Yes.
Yes. And then this is your 2025. What are our goals? I love this. Be a 1 million creator on IG. You're so close to this.
I really thought it was delusional. Like when I wrote it, I was not close at all. And I was like, maybe by the end of the year, if I just work really, 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 really hard.
Oh my God. Yeah. And like this was written in December 2024. Mm-hmm. And you're almost at a million now, and it's only February.
I am very grateful. Yes, I really, like, I swear to God, I went in this not knowing I could do this, but I was like, you know what? If I dream it, at least I can try. At least I can try.
I love. I also love like launch product. Let's go beyond sponsored content. Ownership is key. So you want to have your own products.
I do. Yeah, I really That's like great. My own product. Or I think product is a strength of my skill set in my career. So we'll get there.
What products are you thinking about?
I think a mix of digital and physical, but mostly digital. Yeah. Last year I launched a product management course for Taiwan specifically.
Yeah.
And then I think that I'm really a knowledge creator, so I'm very educational. And a lot of people follow me not really for like my aesthetics, but more for how I think about things and how I approach. So it would be templates like this, like the PRD, like the strategy docs, and just walk through the decisions I made and didn't make and why and what my guardrails are. Yeah. I think that it's fascinating to see what choices people don't make.
Mm. Yeah. And when it comes to like, I see like your target audience here, like, do you think it's better to have a niche target audience or a more broader audience?
Well, I wrote this in 2024 when I was deep in April last year. And I was very much in the career tech space. Very, very much so. I think that I wrote it niche because that was what I was. That's the world I knew.
Mm. Yeah.
I thought this was what I could offer. And I knew these people. So that's where I can start. Yeah.
Gotcha. I love that.
I do think niche first, wide second is better.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I agree. And how do you, so, cause you talked about a podcast with Eric and you have your own shorts and you're also thinking about product. Like how do you juggle so many different things? This is a personal problem of mine too. I have so many verticals.
Yeah.
That I have to keep managing. And I feel like, because I have so many verticals, I'm not doing one thing great. I feel like I'm somewhat half-assing everything.
I think I struggle the same way. And you have to kill your darlings. And you have to focus on one. That's why last year I decided to have that conversation with Eric. And I was like, hey, we're going to have to shut down Jomo right now. Because... I can't handle this workload. And he knows he's a full-time CEO.
Yeah.
He doesn't have time.
Yeah.
Man is busy. Okay.
Yeah.
So like getting his time is ridiculous. And then I think he was going through a lot of like relationship stuff. And I was like, my guy, please. Like we talked about this publicly. I'm like, you need time to heal. He went through a breakup and I was like, bro, like you cannot, like, you can put yourself into work, but you deserve to go take yourself on a date. Right? Like use your Sundays to go chill and have nothing planned. Even if you're doing stuff, don't plan it. It shouldn't be on being on. Because when I'm on, I'm on. I'm fully there. Like being on live is a lot of work. You have to put your freaking makeup on. You have to bring your energy. You have to sleep well. You have to like bring your hype no matter how tired you are.
Yeah.
So that's kind of very similar to the podcast space. Like you can't just like chill there and sit back. You got to know exactly what you're getting yourself into and think about the audience for sure.
Yeah.
So I was like, bro, we can't do this. it's not sustainable and it's taking way too much of my time and we have to rethink our structure. But we had a really good run and we're going to come back with season two this year.
That's awesome. Yeah. And so you had to cure their darlings.
Yes.
Had to say bye to your podcast.
Yeah. I said bye to my YouTube channel too.
Isn't it still active?
I post shorts. I just crossed my short form. But I used to be YouTube vlogger first. And then I would do like every week, every other week a vlog. But that takes like 20 hours of editing per video.
Yeah.
It's so much work. And I was like, okay, well, I think short form is how you can grow the fastest and like trial new ideas and let them fail faster. And you don't feel as invested. It's just less work. And then you figure it out ASAP. So I was like, all right, goodbye, YouTube. And that was a really hard pill to swallow because I loved it. I hated short form. I was like, I hate short form. It's so boring. It's so like mindless. But then I figured out a way to love it. Yeah.
That's a good strat too. Like, you know that short form is a way to grow, and you don't necessarily love it at first, but you have to find the strategy to like something, to like it, right? That's what I'm trying to figure out with YouTube myself, with long form YouTube content, because I'm actually trying to go back to doing long form YouTube. But again, too many darlings, too many
I
things to juggle for
know.
me. I'm currently doing shorts as well, and it's like, I don't know where to start. But here, okay, so here's another question for you. It's like, so do you have savings? Like, do you have, because you said you took time off to do, you said no to the podcast, and then you took time off to do your vision for your shorts. Did you know that, like, how do you make your monetization as a
15
creator?
months in
Yeah,
a
it's all
row,
brand partnerships, all of
Gavafed.
it.
Oh, and then I had the course in Taiwan, but I didn't make that much money from it because the Taiwan market, you had to price it really low, and we priced that. It's so low just to make tech more accessible. It was a 10-hour premium course with templates, guides, everything, and like a very professionally produced thing with interviews and it was like an incredibly well-produced course. And we sold it for like $100.
Oh,
Yeah.
nice.
And usually in the US market, that's about $2,000.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, I'm serious. I'm so serious.
So do courses.
I mean, I, because I, that's, I, okay, another bet I have on the future is like education is shifting and you learn everything on the internet now. I had a love-hate relationship with school, and I really don't think you learn great things in school. And I do think the next wave of learning, as like tech evolves so fast, is more technical colleges or skill-building courses. Like I took a typography class last year, and it's just like these little specialized courses throughout your life of as you gain interest. And so I really believe in online education. So I want to continue learning how to be a better teacher for things that I know. So I think investing in courses for me is, I've always wanted to be a teacher. I've always,
So I should do courses.
If you, if there are things that you really want to teach, I feel that you're, there's so much you could offer. Oh my God.
I have so many things that I want to show, and teach about like this industry and also game development and VTubing, etc. I am down. I just never looked into it. Like how, like that's another thing with you is like you have so many verticals that you kind of fall into and find success with. Like, is it mainly just your network of people that you have that, where you get these ideas to do like, I'm gonna make a course or I'm gonna do a video, short form, etc. Like, how do you find your like visions?
That's a good question. I am definitely a deep researcher. Like I will research the shit out of something and spend go really deep and like I try to look at it and I wonder I really I dissect why this is working. And then I think the second layer is that I wouldn't say I have the network, but I just have maybe one or two contacts in that space, and then I find the questions to ask. Yeah, I think
Oh,
I
I
ask the
see.
questions. I think that is another strength of mine where I'm not very afraid to ask those questions in that moment in time and be curious in a way where it's not like imposing on their privacy because this is all really sensitive information. But I learn a lot from those private conversations and coffee chats where like I go to another city and I meet up with a business person or a creator or whatever. And then I learn about their business and process, and I'm like, wow. And then I get their suggestions. But yeah, courses is crazy. There are people who, I've learned a lot about the course industry. There are people who launched like a course on social media influencing and they made like $3 million. Yeah.
What?
Yes. Yes, girl. Yes. Yeah, on social media influencing.
Wait, how?
I don't get it either. There's some crazy numbers. Finance does really well. Like if you have a personal finance course, yeah. There's a lot of gray area in courses. I think there's a lot of scammy people in it. So you have to be, yeah. I was very scared to start it because
yeah.
How many people have gotten, I wouldn't say like canceled, but they've gotten a lot of hate for putting out a subpar course.
Yeah.
But then I feel like, no offense though, but basically I think those people are just not high quality people. And me and my girlfriends, when we were talking about coursework, we realized that no matter what we do, we're going to make a great product. Like yeah. We will put the effort and the quality to make it. So that is no longer a consideration. Is it going to be a bad product? No, because we know we're going to make sure it's a good product. So let's get over that hump. And then let's move on to the actual problem solving. What it is, what are we teaching? Why will it work? What other courses or alternatives are out there? And how will you be different? And what kind of value do you bring? So those are the tactical questions.
Damn. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about business and content creation. You said you get most of your monetization through brand sponsorships.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
For, you know, someone that is starting out and they're growing their Instagram followers, like when do they start reaching out to brands? Like how do they even get involved with brands?
I actually don't reach out to brands. So I get a lot of inbound.
Yeah.
I think it's because of my niche. I am the largest product management content creator on the internet.
Oh, shit. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So so I think, especially because I'm a woman, I think that is an even harder category to, like, be in. So because of that, I'm one of one.
Yeah.
And brands will, if they want something for tech and product, I'm at the top of the roster for them.
Wow. Yeah.
Also, my people are on LinkedIn, so I post a lot on LinkedIn.
Oh, I see. And that helps.
I think my inbound comes from LinkedIn.
Wow.
But also, a lot of my target audience are the brand managers and marketing managers who own the decisions to find and scout the creators. So they're just my viewers, and that's it.
That's perfect. So, like, what kind of content do you do for your sponsor streams? Or sorry, for sponsors content? Like, how does it all work?
I do very tech-based products like LinkedIn, Adobe. I'm an Atlassian partner. Yesterday, I came out with Trello. Like, Trello had a new product launch. LinkedIn had a games beta launch last year where they have crossword puzzles on LinkedIn. So I was part of that beta launch. Anthropic, Claude reached out earlier this year. A lot of AI. Wow. I was at a Microsoft Copilot event yesterday. So, talking about Microsoft 365, how to use Copilot, AI agents. I know, it's so quote unquote boring, but I find it really fascinating.
Yeah,
because I used to like work in this space, so everything is like wow to me. There's some finance apps. I worked with SoFi before. Credit U. I have my sponsors list somewhere.
Damn.
But I would say that the people who manage my inbox or like now I'm with an agency and. They said that my inbound is very, very healthy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, I didn't know that. I really didn't know that. I thought every creator says that they don't really, like, there are dry seasons, but I haven't had one.
That's great because it's very dry for most creators right now.
Dang. Yeah, I've always heard of it, but I get a lot of tech. Like, I think there's Amplitude. Amplitude is a product analytics website.
Oh, wow. So
I worked with them, Asus, Monos Luggage, that was cool. Ergonoffice, that was cool. The Office, Logitech, Scribe, BetterHelp, Miro. Miro is like a Figma competitor, Coursera's courses. Yeah. Google Chrome, Adobe Firefly, Best Buy.
Wow.
Yeah. YouTube.
What advice do you have for content creators that want to be in, that want to like align themselves to be a brand friendly partnership, you know?
I think that one, you have to own the audience that is a consumer of that product. So like I have all the tech audiences. Like my audience is a mix of tech workers, corporate workers, and then creatives, and then some creator industry people. Like those are the main, and then we have like young people who are starting off, but those would be the main pillars. Like if people want a B2B product where it's a Microsoft Copilot, and no freelancer can have Microsoft Copilot for 365 because it's an enterprise product. So you can't really, like, it's too expensive to do yourself. So you have to work in corporate. So do you have the corporate audience, and do you have the platform to reach them? And I'm like, yeah, I do have that on LinkedIn, because 99% of the people who are on my LinkedIn feed are all from corporate jobs. Like no freelancer creator is on LinkedIn unless they're running their own marketing agency.
So would you recommend creators to start LinkedIn as well?
I think only in those verticals, like career, finance, like maybe, but I haven't really seen a lot of it. But it's really industry news and career content on like how to get a job, how to do negotiation, how do you figure out these interviews. I really have liked it for industry news, for people talking about, oh my God, this AI thing happened, or talking about controversial things, or like this conference happening. It's very, I really think that it's not for everyone, but I've been surprised to enjoy the content on there, because honestly, it really is only on LinkedIn where like the executive of this company, the CMO or the CTO would comment on my post. And I'm like, they're not on my Instagram, but they're on my LinkedIn.
So would you say your LinkedIn is the driving factor for your sponsorships, or your Instagram?
I don't think so. I think it's for a lot of the what we call blue chip brands. Some of the more stable ones. But I think for more consumer ones, like the Monos and the Best Buys, I think they're on my Instagram and YouTube. Because I was told this feed or advice by another manager last year, because I put everything in my YouTube vlogs, like all my personality and where brands could fit in. But then he was like, yo, no brand manager is going to watch your YouTube. Like, no one has time for a 10-minute YouTube video. They are looking at hundreds of content creators. You need to put that on Instagram. If you want fashion, you got to post it on Instagram. Post a picture of you. Post a photo. Fashion creators only post photos. So you need to do that. And I'm just like, whoa, that's wild. Oh my God. This girl that I know, this content creator girl, she was like, I'm going to start a career talk in my car series, and I'm going to manifest a car partnership from it. And she did it. And then she got a Lexus partnership.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I think there is some intentionality in placement, and it gets like really strange because, oh, you're only doing that for the brand, but it's like they're bad actors who will try to overplay that game. And there are people who are like, okay, if it works out, this is really natural, this is organic to the message, and it feels good, and it might be a good spot for a potential partnership, and that would be amazing to continue this business. So I feel like that is the ethos I want to move forward with.
How big of a creator do you have to be, do you think, to start?
Not big at all. I think people can charge like thousands of dollars for just 10k followers.
Wait.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, explain. Yeah,
I've seen it. I'm like, the audacity, but I've seen it.
Wait, explain this. Like, how? What do you mean?
I think it makes any sense. Yeah. I personally don't think it makes sense, but I think that as on the inside, if you're on the influencer team, you just need to close and you do not care. And then creators are awful at responding to emails. So it's whoever responds back. And then there's a deadline by the budget and you just have to spend it. Yeah, because you don't get that budget again.
Yeah, so from the creator side, right, you go to 10K followers, but not, I guess if you have 10K followers and those 10K followers are basically aligned to a brand that's looking to sell, then you'll get those brands.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you're a pickleball creator, you'll get a pickleball sponsorship, yes.
And this is all inbound. Like, you don't do any outreach.
I think smaller creators have to do more outreach.
Yeah.
Like if you're a sub 50K, then you doing outreach is actually very helpful for you. And I've seen people generate a list of target brands, find the influencer, I think, outreach email on LinkedIn or their websites, and then just send them their media kit and then examples of what they've done to integrate that product before and what they can do in their rate card. Yeah.
So how would you, for my audience, like how would you explain a media kit?
A media kit? You can see mine if you want.
Yeah, let me see yours.
Yeah, hold on, let me find the link for you. Where is it? I have it on my Gmail. Yeah. Da, 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 da. Do you have a media kit too, right?
You know, I think my agent created one for me, but I've never seen it. Or he might have sent it to me and I did not get a chance to look at it.
That's funny. Okay.
I should probably look at it.
You can show the media kit if you want.
Okay. Yeah. I should probably take a look at my media kit. I think my brand is a little bit everywhere though, honestly.
I think it's a good exercise for you to hone in on something that feels like you, it's easily explained. That's when you'll feel like more focused, when you can explain it.
Yeah. This is awesome. Let me see. Let me show my Twitch chat. So this is Chloe's media kit. Your favorite internet coworker.
Yeah. Tagline. Hold tagline on. Was important.
Tagline. Who is Chloe? What's the content? Educational videos on career stories, life advice, life in your 30s, daily life. Audience. This is important. Corporate and tech workers, entrepreneurs, tech execs, STEM and business students, creatives. 75% women. I envy you. My gosh. I envy you.
Oh, no. It used to be more male and then I flipped it because I was like, I don't want this.
Wait, how did you flip it?
Honestly, you have to create for the female eye.
Yeah.
You do. I stopped doing career content because the men kept coming in. I'm so sorry, my guys. This is probably a lot of guys right now. But yeah, I don't like the guy comments.
Yeah.
It's sweaty and I just want cute girls. So I have to create for their eyes.
That is actually, I'm going to ask you about that because a lot of girls, a lot of female content creators want a bigger female audience. Mm-hmm. And how to create a, for the female eye, that is a question I'm going to have to ask you about.
Yes, I researched so much on female eye. Like, that was important for me to learn.
Wow. You grew from this already. You have to update your media kit.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Recognition as well. I have some stuff under there I could put in. So that's good. Joy of missing out. This is your podcast. Wait, and then this is being alone is not lonely.
Those are just like examples of thumbnails just to give more brand identity to the whoever is watching the media kit.
Love that. And then speaking events. Wow, Jesus. I can see why a lot, like brands would like this is very brand friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Short form visual narrative, educational, lifestyle, home, lifestyle, career, home, money. I like that you have the short form content and the long form content. See, this is why I want to do more long form, because I feel like I only really have short form and not really recent long form.
Mm-hmm.
Audience demographics. Perfect. LinkedIn posts. This is really making me want to do LinkedIn because
Look at that. Look at the seniority. Look at that. The bottom right graph.
Yeah.
The chart.
34%.
It's crazy how many senior people follow my content.
Yeah. Damn.
So these become the decision makers at these companies.
Yeah. Holy shit.
It's so insane.
It's so smart. Dude, this is smart. Because you're...
I didn't know, dude.
But you're appealing to all the people that make the decisions.
I guess.
That's really smart.
Yeah. I can't track it, but that is my hunch. I have nothing to back it up.
Brand partners, people that you've worked with before.
Mm-hmm.
Taiwan work. 10-hour course teaching product.
Oh, this is intentional because I want to do more work in Taiwan.
Yeah.
I think Taiwan has a lot of what we call brain drain, which is a lot of the top talent Taiwan leaves. And so it leaves the island to not have a lot of the greatest people to like build up the economy there. So I think entertainment has gone down a lot. Tech is kind of just a dude's club, a boys club.
Yeah.
And I just want to manifest those opportunities and build up the next generation of young people there. Yeah.
That's really cool. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so like what, as like a summary, basically, first, for people that want to get into social media, right? First, you got to find your vision, your pillars, what you want to create, start creating. Would you say you just start creating first and then you can find your vision, or what do you think?
I think you have to learn how to make a video first.
Yeah.
With that, just pick anything you feel comfortable with. And the thing I was most comfortable with was career, because that was like the only thing I knew. But yeah, the mechanics of making a video is not easy.
Yeah. So educate yourself first. You know, educate yourself, find your vision, and then grow to a certain amount. Would you say like once you're at 10K, would you then recommend doing reach outs, or should you still just create videos? Because a lot of times, you know, I think creators have trouble monetizing, right? Making this their full-time career.
Yeah. I think it depends on your financial situation.
Yeah.
Because I've always had a full-time job and I never had to depend on sponsorships, which helped me focus more on the creative. Because, like, I didn't learn how to really be serious in video editing until, like, last year. I don't think I was that good at it for a while. Yeah. And you have to put in your reps. But it's a personal decision. I will say that no one ever grows from a brand partnership.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how much you try, it'll never be the thing. Like, no one ever says, oh, I'm following you. I follow this person because of their brand partnership.
Yeah. No. Yeah. No.
And then, so basically, it takes a slot of your inventory of that week. And it takes like way longer because you have to do contracts and negotiations and redlining and approvals and script writing and then like briefing meetings. And then you got to work within their guidelines and edit. Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So I personally don't think one should spend that much time to partner unless it's something that elevates their profile, like their career. Like I don't know, if you're in the music space and then you get invited to Coachella, or you're trying to get an invite to Coachella and then it elevates your status in this industry. If money is an issue, then you got to do what you got to do.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I did not do any outbound for a while. Yeah. My first partnership was like Casetify and it came in inbound. Yeah. And then I think focus on the product and then the money will come. But that is a very privileged thing to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, it does come from working full time for almost a decade.
Yeah. Yeah. So for content creators, it's the road to monetization is really like build your brand, get a following, get sponsorships, any other, you know, products or business ideas, that you have, you know, I mean, to try to monetize your audience, right? Like my most of my income is actually not brands. Most of my income is actually just Twitch streaming.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I've seen Twitch numbers before. Some of them are very healthy.
Yeah. So I want to go back to female audience.
Oh yes.
How did you find the how do you find the female eye?
Oh, I asked a lot of my girlfriends what they watch, who they watch, and why. And then I just watched them all. A lot of them are those, you know, stay-at-home vloggers who just eat food and put makeup on. And it's like a week in my life. Like a quiet week in my life. Productive. Like very there's like an element of – there's visuals for sure. There's visuals. It's very clean and very airy, very breathy. A lot of neutral. Yeah. A lot of pinks maybe.
Yeah.
And then there's the sound. There's a very gentle like the sound effects you use. It can't be like that YouTube pop sound, like in your
Yeah.
face. It can't be like whoosh, 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 whoosh. A lot of editors are men. So men, male editors are like, a lot of them are film bros, and film bros love sneaker culture, cars, city landscapes, speed ramping, hip hop beats, like big, big bass beats, really fast, whoosh, whoosh, film camera burn. And I hate that kind of style. I'm just like, it's so much, and it's in your face, like podcast bros, right?
Yeah.
It's in your face, and it's big text. Gaming streamers or gaming creators, big text, very like animated cartoon, which I used to do. But the girly girl who is at the cafe drinking matcha with her cute bubble skirt on and a little side bag, she's not watching that kind of video. She wants to watch cute stuff on Pinterest, like croquettes and like bow ties and just something that makes you feel like manhwa cute, like webtoon cute girl. Mm. Very very soft and gentle, healing. And it feels like you don't have to try that hard.
Yeah.
But it's the effortless aesthetic. Yeah. It's so fascinating. And then I had to learn how to do my makeup differently. Yeah. So there's like the soft makeup. So of course, I'm generalizing here. I'm not like targeting the female eye. I'm targeting a very specific audience of that girly pop who goes to work, has that disposable income, is watching Korean dramas and going to her favorite matcha cafe on the weekends and like having a girl's night doing nails.
Yeah.
And who's like trying to, has a crush on a guy, or like, you know, just that type of, but also really smart and like able to control, like be able to build her career, goes to sleep on time, goes to work out. So I really envision her and I service that girl. And I'm like, is this good enough for her? Will she watch it? Not because she knows me, but because this is good. She genuinely likes it. Yeah. So I have to keep that bar up every time.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. I create for her. Mm.
Oh, I love that. And also business women like me.
Yes. I think what's really cool is, you know, I went to the Atlassian Team 24 conference last year, and literally it's 99% dudes with beards. Like, that's what it is. It's just all guy developers. But the people who come up to me are the 1% girlies.
Yeah. Like,
and then a couple of guys who come up to me, they're like, hey, can I get a picture with you? My wife would kill me if I didn't get a picture with you. So I'm like, this is the crowd. That's when you know. That's the sniff test, when you know you've done it. With Jomo, it's way more 50-50 because Eric has really a lot more masculine energy than I do.
Yeah.
And I would say people have told me that I have more masculine energy than than people perceive from first glance.
Yeah.
Because I'm a straight shooter and I call people out very fast, and then I am very opinionated. And I'm kind of, I think, you know, you're also someone who, you speak your mind.
I do.
Not a lot of people do that. Not a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of, I would say it attracts a different type of viewer. Like, not everyone likes me because I'm out there at times. Like, for my profile, I cross the boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, fine. It's whatever. Yeah, so that's why I have a mix. I don't have like 95%.
So you know how you said you kind of like turned around, like you had a large male audience and then you turned around to female audience by like learning about just like how to appeal to the audience that you want. I guess like for me, I think for me, right, trying to find, would you say your advice to me, right, would be to try to find my audience, like what audience I want to appeal to? Because I think I don't really think about it. And I think I kind of like, I wish I would have like a 50-50 audience, but I don't actually actively go and try to get that because I didn't really understand what it takes to do that. So would you say like that's like a good start to just try to figure out exactly who I'm trying to target?
I think Twitch streamers are a different breed of creators.
Yeah.
I don't think you can easily, because it's defined by the behaviors of the platform and the the ecosystem of the platform, and it's already majority male. But
I want to go beyond Twitch streaming, right?
Oh, okay.
I want to strengthen my brand. I would say, just very broadly, what do you think I should do to strengthen my brand?
Strengthen?
Yeah.
So what does strengthen mean? Like, is it an audience thing or is it a money thing?
For me, it's like vision thing. Like, what does my brand really clear look like?
Yeah. Honestly, from the outside looking in, your branding was very unique and clear. Because you do VTubing, and you're the only creator, that streamer that I was aware of in my creator partnerships days that did anything innovative on the tech side with VTubing and content and interviews. That's so clear, and no one can do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So why isn't it? But the thing is, you say that it's not clear to me.
I think it's not clear to most people who create, because you're in the hot seat. You're in the spotlight. Of course, you'll never see yourself.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I think you have to have a really strong perception compass of your view of the outside looking in. And if it's hard for you, then it would be your agent's duty to help you. Like, to your manager to tell you. But I know that managers and agents, that's also another tricky relationship in the creator side. It's not always ideal. They have a huge roster. They're not your day-to-day. Sometimes they only can do so much. So sometimes me and my girlfriends, my creator girlfriends, we get together and we just brainstorm. Me and another career creator and my friend who's a big YouTuber, we would get together and write out at the cafes. Look at I looked at one of my girlfriend's Instagram feeds, and I'm like, what is this video doing for you? Like, why do you even spend time making this meme video? Like, yeah, sure, it's a meme and it's a joke, but it's like sarcastic. Do you think your girls that you want to appeal to, like, are they just laughing or what is the value? Why spend the extra 3 hours a week to do that when you can spend that 3 hours and another 3 hours on a 6-hour video on something way more impactful? Yeah.
I see. So do you think my brand is like VTubing and tech kind of a thing? Like, what should I be producing? Because I feel like I produce anything and everything without a clear goal.
It's such a personal question.
Yeah.
I think that for the way that I can only speak on how I view my career.
Yeah.
But I really, really want to be at the top of my industry in the tech and business space because I love it. Like, I've done it all my career. And I personally consume this all the time. I literally go to tech conferences because I like it. Like, that's just me. But I don't really talk about it as publicly. So for me, I've always wanted to be a decision maker in this space.
Yeah. Like,
be in the executive room and to make a choice on what goes out, what products go out to change, like, our economy and how we make money, how we make a living, how this impacts our livelihood and our everyday at work. Like, that's where I want to be. It's still really hazy, whether that looks like media or tech or an intersection of both, or or VC and be in the investing space. I don't really know, but I just know that I want to get there. There's a part of me that also wants to influence storytelling and how people perceive themselves. So that could look like producing my own Korean drama or but not like in a Korean drama style, or producing my own anime. I think for people, it's very normal to have all kinds of things you want to do and be lofty. And you should never shut that voice, because that voice will never go away. Like, decades will go by and you'll still have that desire. So listen to it, write it down, but then sequence it out. It doesn't make sense to do that this year versus 5 years later. Like, I really like singing. I'm not going to be a singer. I just don't have what it takes. But I will keep singing, and maybe in 5 years I can come out with an album, maybe. But that's not a this year thing. So this year I'm just a student, and that's okay, and I'll just keep learning. So that's stuff like that you can sequence out based on, we have limited time in the day. I think that you have an opportunity to be extremely innovative in the VTubing space and in how people create caricatures of themselves. So you can go a couple of routes. You can go like the entertainment gaming route, where like there's these characters strangers that you're interacting with, and maybe they're, I don't know if your character and you're in and you're trying to boost the story of another game to help them promote their storylines, and you're along with them. I feel like gaming streamers do that a lot. Like where the role of a gaming streamer in the industry is really boosting games. But then there's another part of you that can go more tech because the role of avatars and identity in product, like in Discord, everyone doesn't have a picture of their real self. That is very rare to find. You have a picture of something else. You probably get commission artist to find a caricature of yourself as a profile. There's avatar decos. One of my girlfriends is a product manager who led avatar decos, which is like the thing that goes around your avatar. TikTok is trialing this too. There's like Bitmojis, and there's when I was in TikTok Live, we had a lot of I think characters that you can put over your face because people see themselves in a different way when they're animated. Yeah, I feel like you can consult and be one of the influential voices while those product leaders are like trying to figure out how do you express yourself. You know what's really do you know Line app?
Why does that sound so
So Line is
familiar?
a chat app that Japan and Taiwan uses. So
Yes,
it's
I know.
their equivalent of like WeChat, WhatsApp.
I know
And I
Line.
talked to the general manager, the previous general manager of Line Taiwan, who founded Line Pay. And he literally said that when stickers, Line stickers were a thing, you know, like stickers. Line stickers are supreme. They're amazing.
They
They would literally
are.
get in a room and be like, why does the sticker work? And why does it matter to like the human psychology? And how would you use it? Like, how does a sticker express itself to a person? And how does a person use it to express themselves? So using like the animated fiction world to express a human feeling is such a powerful thing. And that's why like anime and gaming and fiction is so popular and resonating, like these fictional stories, because I think there's way more expression of imagination, and I think that's where the virtual world comes in.
I agree. I 100% agree with that. For someone that is like, for people that are watching that, you know, is trying to figure out their own voice, and because like when I was talking to you and you were describing like what you want to do, what you want to pursue, you have a very clear goal and clear vision. Like, how do you get to that point? Like, I feel like so many people, their vision is muddled and they don't know what to do.
I do think it's very normal to not know what you want, but I think that I've learned a lot. I failed a lot, and then I think I reflect all the time. I love like debriefing and dissecting what happened and why this didn't work. I think that I have a strong guiding compass on my core principles. So I shared with you my core principles. If it doesn't align with it, like an opportunity comes and it doesn't align and I just don't know why I'm doing it, I'd rather just not do it at all. I'd rather just like be at home and stare at the ceiling and watch an anime episode. Like that's my bar. Like, right? Like that gives me so much joy. But I don't know if you feel this way. Like I think I get a lot of speaking opportunity outreach, like at big, you know, industry events. And I'm like, dude, that sounds like so much work. Or at a networking event, like come out to, you know, Cannes. And I'm like, okay, but why? Like, what am I doing there? Like that sounds cool. You know, from a bird's eye view, that sounds cool. But why do I care? I don't know yet. And maybe I'll care next year. But I think this year, I really care. I already have what I care about. And so there's a lot of distractions that come into your life, especially, you know, you're a public figure. You have hella inbound from people asking you to grab coffee, do mentor them, come to my university at my club to speak and talk about tech. And you're just like, bro, this is a lot. A lot to manage. So I think for me, I have very limited energy. I can't do everything. And then I have to know exactly like why is this good for me? Even if it's like a brain dead, no brain cells, like I'm just gonna show up and have fun. Like I have to have that intentionality when I get that partial invite from a friend who wants to have like a brunch after, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm so tired. But if it's with these girls, I will do it, you know?
What's your day-to-day like? Is it pretty hot? Like, when do you wake up? Well, how much work do you do? And do you have time for yourself?
I think it's very different right now because it's all wedding planning.
Yeah.
And I just announced this morning that I'm having my wedding in Taiwan.
Oh, wow.
So I've been
Yeah.
sleeping at like 5 a.m. every night
Oh my
because of
God.
the time difference to talk to my
Yeah.
planners, all the vendors, my relatives to coordinate everything. Yeah, it's been insane. I've been sleeping at 5, waking up at 11 to 12, and
Yeah.
then going through my emails, writing my scripts, editing, film, and then filming if I can get to it. And then, yeah, I try to work out. I like 3 times a week, 2 times a week, maybe. I try to sing, practice singing, and then I have dinner, and then I try to
Yeah.
watch anime. I get caught up on Solo Leveling and Sakamoto Days. And then I just continue working at night all the way until 5. Yeah.
Wow. When do you wake up then if you're working until 5?
I think 11 to 12. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's only like 6, 7 hours of sleep.
I slept at 4 a.m. last night, so it's not too bad.
Okay.
I'm sleep deprived. Girl, I'm sleep deprived.
Oh no.
I'm so scared of getting sick before the wedding.
Yeah.
But I think I just have to grind it out. I have to lock in and just
Yeah.
get it done. Yeah, I think the international wedding was, it was not a mistake, but it was definitely a lot more scope than I
Oh my
anticipated.
gosh.
Yes. So that's it. But before then, I think I slept anywhere from 12 to 2.
Okay.
And I wake up before, by like 10, before 11. And no meetings until after 11 for me. That's like my,
Oh,
yeah.
okay.
I always
Gotcha.
tell everyone, 11 or after, and then
Yeah.
I can't do anything else. Yeah.
So meetings, working on videos, and then some personal time for yourself, and then sleep.
Yeah, I
That's
think
pretty
that,
good.
yeah, I would say I have a very good work ethic. Like I
Yeah.
can, I think maybe you feel this way where you can tunnel vision on something for like hours, for like
Yeah.
10 hours straight. I think I can do that quite well as, and then I just get it done and then I go to bed. Yeah.
Honestly, that seems pretty balanced.
I don't know about balance. I do have a lot of friends that call me crazy.
Yeah.
But I think the balanced life will come when I want it to come. Yeah.
Yeah,
And I think
yeah.
I'm okay with it right now.
And then I guess it's good, like you have your journal of like your core vision and like your pillars, and then you kind of have to ask yourself, like, does this actually help with what I'm trying to
Yeah, if you talk to Eric, you'll know that I opt out a lot. I say no a lot to
Yeah,
things. Like he's
that's
like, "Oh, you want to
good.
come to this thing?" I'm like, "No." I don't. I'm good 'cause I don't go to parties.
Yeah.
I'm he definitely goes to way more things than I do. And I think that it's not like I think it has a bad rap because people think, "Oh, you just want something out of things." But no, I'm just tired.
Yeah, I
Yeah,
know.
like you don't want to
I
leave
get
the
that.
house. Ugh. Life is hard.
No, I get that. I have a question about brands,
Okay.
brand risk and brand safety, right?
Yes.
Because you're a very brand safe creator. I am a brand risky creator.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, I found out about you on Twitch because you kept getting like kicked off or you kept getting banned.
Okay, I will say those bans were pretty unfair.